Well, you should have received a handout or a piece of paper that has the references today. John, do we have any more of those back there? If you do not have one, raise your hand. John will come down. Are we out, John? Okay. You may have to share with your neighbor. The basic essence of the handout is it's the references printed out for you. We're going to be in four locations. So if you don't get one and you don't get a neighbor who has one, you can turn there. It's just going to be four places. So we're going to look at Matthew 13. It's actually three places. We're just going to split one of the passages in half. Matthew 13, Luke chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians 5. So Matthew 13, Luke 12, and 1 Corinthians 5. Matthew 13, Luke 12, and 1 Corinthians 5. As we're continuing to work through our destiny series, that God has a destiny for our lives, and we typically know that intuitively. We know that we did not come into this world without any purpose. We know that there's supposed to be some reason we're living for. And if we don't feel that way, usually it's because it's been stomped out of us by the difficulties of this world and the pain of this world. But it wasn't that so in the beginning. Most of us began life believing I have a purpose to live for. And sometimes we find it. Sometimes we think we've found it. And we are doing things that we think is God's purpose for my life. But in order for us to know for sure, we have to go to His written word that reveals to us His destiny for our lives. And where we've been so far is, first, His destiny is, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, that we are to be baptized into one body, that God has done a spiritual, supernatural work to link us to other believers, that He has no intention for us to be independent believers and not a part of a body, and not just a, yeah, I belong there and go there twice a year kind of thing. It's a, I am involved, I'm there, I know them, I do things, that kind of connection to the body of Christ. The second part of this destiny was 1 Corinthians 12, 7, that He has given each one of us a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each one of us includes you. There was not an exception there. All of us have been given this ability to do something to contribute to the body of Christ, to help it grow, to help it thrive, to help it to be strong, to support it. God has called us to fulfill some function in that capacity. The second step is Colossians 4:11. We are fellow partners. That is, that we are supposed to be team players. This is not just going to sing some songs and listen to some guy talk for a little while. This is a team of people working together to accomplish a common goal. We're called to be a part of that team. And if one part of the team needs help, we go in and help. And if we need help, we call for help from the others. We support one another. The next step in this journey is that we are called to, in Matthew 12, we see the story where the disciples come to Him and tell Him His mom and His brothers are outside the crowd trying to get to Him. And He says an odd statement, well, who are my mother and my brothers? These are who do the will of my Father are my mother and my brothers. And He revealed to us this destiny of being loyal to the body of Christ, to attempt to try to not allow anything to deter us from being a part of the mission and being a part of God's kingdom. The fifth step in this journey, we've been on a lot of steps here, haven't we? God has called us to, and I'm going out there, in and out. We'll watch that, Joe. Hopefully, you can hear, I'll shout loud enough. The only concern is whether or not it gets recorded. God wants us to be in on the secret master plan. And as we learned a couple weeks ago, it's not that it's a secret. It's just that it's secret to us that we don't often participate in that master plan. And that plan is that everything we do is to be working towards the salvation of others. Whether it's the social events, whether it's the way the facility looks, the goal to salvation. And I'm going to switch mics there until we get it fixed. Our next step in the journey was probably one of the hardest, and that is when God calls us to give up some of our money. We don't like that end of things, but God has called us to surrender, contribute financially Are we on any of them?
This
maybe. That's okay. You guys aren't easily distracted, right? God wants us to contribute financially to the body of Christ to help support the work of the kingdom of God. And if you missed, that's available on the website as well. But God has a destiny for our lives, and it's not just family, it's not just your job, it's not just the things you do outside. God has a destiny for us to make a difference and impact. And the next step in this journey is God calls us to be influential. God wants us to make a difference and influence our community around us. And sometimes we don't think that that's possible, that we can influence somebody else. And I'm going to demonstrate that it is possible to influence someone to think of something or remember something. We sometimes know commercials that get a line that gets stuck in our head. Have you ever had a jingle or a song stuck in your head that you just can't, you hate the song, but you can't get rid of it? I'm going to say a portion of some of these statements and see if you guys can finish these statements. Break me off a piece of that. I'm going to try this one. We'll see if you can get my music here. This is McDonald's. Do-do-do-do-do. You do know it. All right. Skittles. Taste the rainbow. This is an old one. Maybe she's born with it. There we go. We got some know it. The Energizer Bunny. It keeps going and going and going. You've been influenced. You've been influenced to remember information and all that stuff.
Are you sure?
He's speaking that in. There we go. I think I'm there. Are we good? There we are. All right, good. That was not a miracle. That was Joe working on the sound. but you have experienced the fact that you can be influenced. Your way of thinking can be influenced. But sometimes we have a hard time imagining we can influence somebody else. And yet we see it all the time. You think about how many times, there's something called groupthink, where when people get together and they're with each other enough, they start thinking the same way. That happens even on a national scale. Though we don't all think the same, there's a number of public opinion things where the majority think a certain way. And how did we get there? How did we get where everybody, people that don't even know each other, think the same way? In fact, we see those ways of thinking change over time. In fact, over the last 20 years, we've seen public opinion change a lot on different issues where before we used to think one way, now we think a different way about it. And how did that happen? How did that happen where a whole community's way of thinking was changed? You can see it throughout history where people change, sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better, but constantly show that we can be influenced and changed. And Jesus wants us to influence our community, to influence those around us. And what does he want us to influence them for? Well, we know he wants them to be into the kingdom. But he also wants us to influence our community for what Joyce may say, shalom, peace. And I say shalom, peace, because the word shalom is a Hebrew word that is usually translated peace. But that word peace may not give us an adequate description of what that word means. That word peace or that shalom means wholeness, that everything is right. My body physically is right and whole. My finances are intact. My relationships are good. My emotions are good. Everything is. And God has called us to bring that to our communities, to make wholeness exist around us in our community. To help others exhibit the, let's see if I can get distracted less than you. God has called us to help our community exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Wouldn't it be awesome if the majority of our social encounters throughout public life was filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God wants us to spread that out our community. God wants us to also spread healthy relationships throughout our community. Wouldn't it be great to start to see marriages stay? Each other. God wants us to see families intact and whole and put together and
when you turn your head to the left, it goes out.
Hello? Does it? You guys are, somebody's pulling a prank on me today. So then I'll turn like that. Where were we? Let's see how if you're paying attention. Making marriages whole. Thanks. Someone is paying attention. Making marriages whole. Families whole. Like your boss. If you are a boss, like those who work for you. God wants those to be in existence in our society, and He wants the church, the body of Christ, to be at the forefront of making that happen. Lastly, He wants us to... Okay, we're going to change your mind. Good.
Speaking of influence, switch mic, but I don't know if it's on.
There we are. All right. This is one of those examples where you have to be here to get it, because I don't know what you're going to hear on the website. God has also called us to influence our culture to have a close bond with Jesus. Not just believe in Him, or to know of Him, but to have a close relationship, an intimate relationship with Him that's life-impacting, and for us to glorify Him. God wants us to influence our culture to make that happen. But how? How are we going to influence our culture? I don't know if you ever, when you were a kid, swam in an above-ground pool, some of those round pools that are usually like 3 feet, 4 feet deep, and you've ever done the thing where you tried to create a current in the pool, where everybody walks along the edge of the pool in one direction and just keeps spinning and walking around until eventually there's this current going on, a homemade whirlpool almost. And what happens is that current is hard to resist. You can decide to resist that current, but it's very difficult. In fact, many times if you're not mustering up the resistance, you're just getting swept along with that current because it's become so strong. That is the way influence happens. When more and more people beat the same constant drumbeat and have the same message and are united and are saying the same thing, doing the same thing, having the same purpose, that becomes hard to resist. And it happens both in the negative and in the positive. And many times people don't even know they have been swept up into someone else's way of thinking. And God has called us to influence our community that way. But how do we do that? Well, we can do that if we understand the principles of leaven. Not 11, but leaven like yeast. And Jesus, as well as Paul, deals with leaven in an interesting way, because most of the time it's mentioned as a negative. Our first glance at it will be mentioned as a positive. And then there's another passage where it's kind of treated almost in a neutral way. But the whole point of the leaven is not the leaven itself, because the leaven can either be good leaven or it could be bad leaven. The point of it is that leaven influences, and Jesus wants us to see how it influences. So first, Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. They're on your handout if you have that. Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. It says, 33, thank you. Matthew 13:33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. The first principle, leaven, is presence. The illustration here is that just a little bit was placed into the lump of dough, and over time it filled the entire lump of dough with leaven. And what he wants us to know there, and he talks about this in other ways when he talks about in Matthew 5 that we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world, that if we are present in our community, we begin to influence them.
And I don't know about you, but sometimes the way we live ends up resulting in I go to work and I go to church and I go home. And outside of there, I've kind of run out of friends to invite to church and people that I know because I've already asked everybody I know and I have no more friends. And some of us, we've asked more than others because some of us only have two friends. And that's okay. We'll start there. But God, we cannot influence people if we're not with them. And as I said before, some of us are introverted in nature, and that's just something that God's going to have to help us get over, is you will never influence somebody to come to know Christ if you don't know them, if you're not with them. And you have to be with them on a regular basis. It can't just be I met with you once, so here's the spiel, and come to church, and see you never again. It has to be a constant presence. And how do we do that? Well, we'll talk about that in a few moments. But the way we're going to influence our culture is first we have to be there. We have to be present. The leaven is not going to spread if we're not placed inside that lump of dough, which is the world, which is our community. So the first principle is to be present. The second principle is in Luke chapter 12, and this is where he uses a negative leaven, but it still shows us the effects of the influence of leaven in this regard in a negative way. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says, "In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" So he names what leaven is there. Then he says what it does. Verse 2, "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." The second principle of leaven is that God tends to expose things. Now, he does this both for bad things and for good things. So if you have sin in your life and all that stuff, I don't know if you've ever been in a service where someone starts prophesying and you were dealing with some issue in your life and he's calling people out and you thought, "I hope he doesn't say me. I hope he doesn't say anything about me." Because you have this fear that God will expose it because we know that eventually he does. But the encouraging part of this and the part that matters for us in influencing our community is that God puts the spotlight on those good little things that you do that you think nobody notices. And sometimes when you've been sharing your faith and loving on somebody and you've not seen the fruit from that, you've not seen them react to that, you've not seen change happen in their lives, you think, "What am I doing this for? It's not creating any change." But the principle of leaven is give it time and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work to expose it. Because at some point, if you keep doing the things that God has called you to do, get involved in the community and connect with people, build relationships, demonstrate the love of Christ, at some point somebody's going to notice it. And somebody's going to start to ask you questions. And someone's going to start to seek you out. And someone's going to start to want what you have, but only if you're present. And only if you are waiting and being diligent to keep persisting in what God has called you to do. I've mentioned that I go down to the library with the intention of sharing my faith. And some weeks I'm just sitting there reading my Bible and that's it. Some weeks I have conversations with others. I had a very interesting one this past week. Sometimes I'm playing chess with somebody. But it's the willingness to continue to pursue and stay present and continue to wait for the Holy Spirit to work. If we start doing that, we're going to see the fruit because God's going to shine a light on us. The third principle of the leaven is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is where Paul treats it almost in a neutral way. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8 says this, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival not with the
old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, he's still speaking of influence there, but he gives us an option there. Instead of this kind of leaven, why don't you allow unleavened to be there? And he attaches two items there. The bad leaven, the old leaven, is malice or hatred, and the good leaven is sincerity and truth. So what's the principle here? I have to be good on the inside out. I have to be transparent. So if I'm doing all the good stuff out here, but I don't actually love the people in here, you're not going to influence anybody. Because believe it or not, most people can tell if you actually care about them. They can tell. You don't have to say it. You don't have to necessarily do anything. We can just see it all over your face. Like right now, I can see everything you're saying to me at the moment by looking at your face. I'm just kidding. Mostly, except for my wife. But people know. People know whether or not you genuinely care. And so not only do we need to be present and get out there and build relationships and be with people, and not only do we need to have stamina and trust that God's going to begin to bring fruit from what we're doing and expose what we're doing, but we have to actually genuinely care for the people we interact with, for the community we live in. We have to genuinely care. Well, how do I get that? Well, where does that fruit come from? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You want to know how to love the community? In fact, one of the songs we sang was asking the Lord to put his heart in us and to send us out into the community with his love. When you truly encounter the work of the Holy Spirit, that is what makes you able to care about people you don't even know, to be broken for people that you don't even know their name yet. That is going to influence our community. But we have to be sincere. We have to be diligent and persistent, and we have to be present in our community. So practically, how does this work? How do we do this? In general, I need to be, you need to be a demonstration of what it looks like to follow Jesus. So no matter if somebody's watching you and you know it, no matter if you're in public and in view, always living the way Jesus has called you to live, so that when God exposes that and when they see that, then they will be led to what it looks like to be like Jesus. We also need to be a spokesperson for what it is to live for Jesus. Sometimes we have to open our mouth, because just being a nice person is not going to make anybody decide to follow Jesus on its own. Eventually, they need to hear what this is all about. And so I need to be a spokesperson for that. Thirdly, I need to capitalize on opportunity. Every single time I see a moment to love on somebody, to help somebody, to serve somebody, to be there for somebody, the door opens to share the gospel with them, I should jump on every single chance I get. And if you're wrestling with that sharing of your faith, Wednesday nights at 7, we're studying how to share the gospel, and God wants to remove the fear from it. God doesn't want us to be terrified of sharing our faith. He wants us to do it boldly. So I encourage you, join us Wednesdays at 7. We're recording them, so they're on the website. So if you can't be there, you can listen to it there. But Alma, you can't do it on a website. You have to be here at the church. Okay? Yeah, I know you are. And all of this concept relates to what our purpose statement is, that we are together seeking something better. That is, that we are a group of people that are working as a team to help our community to become a better place to live in. To be all those things of bonded with Jesus, of healthy relationships, of shalom peace, of the fruit of the Spirit. That is what we're striving to do. We are together seeking something better. Now, how do I do this specifically? Here's where I'm going to give you some assignments. You ready? There's homework for today. First is, find out where there is a crowd, especially if you could find a crowd that is doing something you're interested in, and jump right in. Now, for some of us, that's a piece of cake. Some of us social birds, that's just easy. Others of us, that's going to be very difficult. But I'm telling you, as an introvert, God can transform the way you socially engage other people. So, where are there people?
Well, as a church, we've been going to Coons, and we're going to be picking that up soon, where we go there and give away hot dogs and just bless the people that are there. We've had amazing encounters there. That's like the social hot place of this neighborhood, I think. Everybody goes there. I mentioned the library as my own personal pursuit. Here's an interesting phenomenon. I have a friend that I meet with on a weekly basis for Bible study and fellowship. Been doing that for about 11 years, and our job situations has changed. That has kind of moved us, but we meet at a McDonald's, and we've met at least three different McDonald's. And we sometimes meet on Wednesday, sometimes Thursday. Just we've moved throughout the week, and every single time we are in a McDonald's in the morning on a weekday, no matter which day it is, and no matter which location, there are a bunch of retired guys hanging out at McDonald's. Because every time they go into McDonald's, there's a bunch of retired guys there. So if you are a retired guy, that is like a mission field. I'm telling you. Just pick one and go there. And listen, you don't need to. First is to be present. So you don't need to show up right away and start stirring the pot. Build relationships. Get to know them. And then as you build those relationships, share your faith. So I'm going to be waiting for stories from some of you retired guys. I know who you are. If you like bowling, get into a bowling league. If you like hunting, get some other guys to join you or find out if there's an event centered around hunting. Get to know your neighbors. Start to invite your neighbors over to your house on a regular basis. I don't talk to my neighbors. Well, now's the time to start. Although we're kind of afraid with our neighbors because they've heard a lot of yelling inside the house because of crazy children. But we're afraid of I don't know if I want that stuff, which is why there needs to be transparency, right? Those of you who are pet lovers, get involved in some kind of pet group. They're out there. Find them. Those of you who like cars, get involved in car cruises. Those of you who like bikes, whether it's motorcycles, get involved in not a biker gang necessarily, but some kind of group centered around biking. Even regular pedal bikes, there's sometimes groups for that. Get involved. Those of you who are on social media, and I know who you are, I see you out there. Make friends on social media and find opportunities there. Join the board of some organization. Get a part-time job. Get a part-time job just to share my faith? Yeah, get a part-time job just to share your faith. Anywhere there's people, get out there, and not just to try to get people to come to Bethel, but to try to spread the love of Jesus Christ and the fruit of the Spirit and transform our community. And we cannot do that unless we're there present. And the last way we can do that is by volunteering in an organization. And that's why I have my friends back there. Emily, would you come up and join us on the platform? And Joyce, will you come on up? And LaShawn, come on up on the platform. These young ladies I asked to join us. As much as I'm feeling like I am getting older, I met Joyce and she said, "You're young." But these three ladies represent three different organizations, and I wanted them to be here so that if you are feeling the compulsion to get involved and volunteer, these are great organizations to get involved with. And I'm going to ask them just to share briefly about their organization, and then they'll head back to their table. And after the service, I want to encourage you to go see them, talk with them, find out more, ask whatever questions you have, exchange contact information, and they would be delighted to share with you. But first we have Emily. Emily is with the Foster Love Project. So Emily, will you share with us about Foster Love?
Thank you for having us here today to represent what our organization is doing. So Foster Love Project is started out of the home of Kelly and Andrew Hughes. They are Pittsburgh residents, and they are a foster family. And after seeing a lot of transitions in placements when they would receive foster children into their home, they realized that one of the most traumatic moments was paired with kids not having any of their resources or their own belongings coming into their home. So what they decided to do was put together a bag drive. It was about after their eighth placement where this was happening, where kids were showing up scared, traumatized, with really nothing but the clothes on their back. And so they began with a bag drive. And with that bag It's supposed to become new items, pajamas, toothbrushes, things, basic necessities that would bring a little bit of sense of dignity and comfort back to the child as they were moving into this really serious and hard place in their lives. And what started as a request for 300 bags in the community, it turned into 1,000 that first drive. And we've just completed the fifth drive for the organization, and we have been able to bring in over 10,000 bags. So we are really just really thankful, because it could not have been done without the whole community in the surrounding areas of Pittsburgh. And what that has done, it has gone out to dozens of agencies. It has gone to CYF. It has gone to all types of organizations that work to help children in foster care. And really the mission of Foster Love is to ensure that we're doing everything we can to offer resources to really give the dignity back to kids that are traveling through the system and walk alongside them. And so we're really thrilled that over the last couple of years we were able to open the first free donation center for families, foster and adoptive families, but we really, our focus is on foster families, where children are able to come in and shop individually for their needs and offer as a resources for parents who are fostering children as well, because it can be a pretty expensive and difficult endeavor. And when they come in through the center, everything they walk out with is free. And that is something that has been able to happen because of the community willing to be there with us, helping give us donations, helping to find resources for us. And now we're able to start offering some programming. And this year will be the first year we get to offer a respite weekend of retreat for foster and adoptive families. My family is one of them, so I'm very excited about this too. And what we're going to be able to do is bring together a community of about 50 foster families and adoptive families, and we'll be able to hopefully build connection for them with each other and just learn from each other, because all of our experiences as foster families are genuinely unique. All of the kids that we come into contact with day to day, they're experiencing something truly, truly difficult and tragic in most of their cases. And so we want to be able to help encourage them along the way, and anything that we can do to help educate families about what it looks like for reunification and for really stabilizing families so that kids can go back to their families. Those are the things that we determine we want to be a part of. And so we released the registration for our first retreat, and with the generosity of the Pittsburgh Foundation, we were able to help cover some of those expenses. We are still looking for help for the rest of the expenses, but we were able to register 45 families, which is about 300 people, in a matter of an hour and a half. And so there are some really, really exciting things happening and things beyond the horizon that we don't even know about yet that we are working to just be a part of. And so we are looking for volunteers all the time at the donation center. We're looking for volunteers to help with this retreat, to offer parents a time to be able to focus and relax a little bit, take some of the pressure off while our families are all together. So if that's something that you're interested in, I have lots of flyers in the back, and we have an email list that you can be a part of. We're very active on social media, so if you want to know what is going on and how you can engage in that, we would love your interaction with that. You can follow us on Facebook at Foster Love Project. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer anything after the service.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So we're glad she's here. And you think about when she mentioned 2,000 families, that's 2,000, and usually that's multiple children. So that's a lot of children that are being affected and have a great need for God's love. And so this is a great place to get involved, and we're glad you're here. LaShawn, I reached out to them to get to know them as one of my projects, and we were delighted this past December to let them use our facilities for a Christmas party for their foster families. It was cool to see all the kids running through here. And so she's a great lady, and
And she knows almost all the Steelers, I think. That's supposed to be a secret, I think. But but she's her other job. So, but this is LaShawn. She's with Presley Ridge.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Danny and First Lady Heather. I do not take it lightly to be in the house of the Lord. And everything she said, we do as well. So I praise God that there's opportunities for foster kids. I work with Presley Ridge, and just to give you a brief, some information, because I'm going to be in the back there as well. We've been around for 187 years. In Allegheny County, amen, Allegheny County, we help about 8,000 families and individuals. But in Allegheny County just alone, there's 2,000 children that need to be fostered. So I was listening to the message this morning, and I know whenever the mic goes out, the devil is busy, because there was a message in there, and it made me listen more intently to what the message was. And so when he gave the fruits of the Spirit, I said, hey, we're built on that. And as a community, that's what God wants. So he said something that resonated with me. He said, be present, be influential, and build relationships. That is what we are here to do. And if I could be a part of it with Presley Ridge and help someone else, that's what I'm here to do. So I will be in the back. I will be present. I need for you to be present as well. We have teens that need to be fostered. And what they need, and I'm a teen recruiter. We have children. We have smaller children as well. But I'm a teen recruiter with Presley Ridge. And when I say be present, just very quickly, and you know how in the church they say, I'm not going to hold you long. I'm not going to hold you long. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be done. But I met a young person with Presley Ridge, and they said to me, Miss LaShawn, all I want is someone to attend my basketball game. Be present. That's all they wanted. Someone to attend. And that hit my heart. Because with my children, I was present. You know, I went to those games, and I didn't think anything of it. But this kid said, this is all I am looking for. So if you have it in your heart to be present, to be influential, and build a relationship, we're here for you. Thank you.
I think she's got a preacher gene in there. this is Joyce, and a lot of you know Joyce. Working with The Doorway. We've supported this organization for a number of years, but we're glad to have you here, and if you would share about your organization also.
I will, young man. It's kind of funny because, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to take away your excuse. Before you say it, I am going to be 75 in a couple months. All right. So don't tell me that you're too old to do any of this, all right? Because that's not going to happen. All right, we are a crisis ministry located in Avalon. We've been there since 1990. I've been working with drug and alcohol since 1981. I was asked to look at a school district to see if they had a drug problem. Right after that, my very good friend's son and two other boys went over a cliff, they all died, and I've been doing drug and alcohol ever since. I was given that building in Avalon, and it started out, and my primary job is to work with addicts, and I love to do that, but the second part of that is to work with children. And I'm just looking at the kids in here, and I want to say, and I want to tell you a million things for doing this for 37 years, but you're going to have to skip that, because I want to talk to these kids. I don't care where you've come from, ladies, gentlemen. No matter how you've been raised, no matter what has happened to you, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. So you have no excuses, oh, I was raised this way, this happened to me. God has a plan. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, one of a kind, in God's image. So the other thing, guys, if you don't ever pick up, you're never going to have to quit. Okay? If you never pick up alcohol or other drugs, you're never going to have to quit. My job, I've got guys right now, I have a group meeting on Tuesday nights. These guys come in, they've got 6 months clean, they've got a year clean, one young girl has 4 years clean, but they've been struggling for 20 years. My buddy's got 20 years of addiction, he's clean for 1 year. So guys, You got to be strong. I love seeing the kids in here. That was the most exciting thing. All these kids coming in. This is where you need to be. This is where you'll learn and you'll grow. The world's going to teach you garbage. You need to be here. You need to suck it up. You need to be present. And then you need to take it out. There are kids out there hurting. They have nothing. And you need to grow in here, and then you need to go out, and you need to share the love of Christ. So we're a crisis ministry. Everything's free. We have a rec room. We have a soda fountain. I'm the only person that's employed there. The rest of it is run by volunteers and kids. My granddaughter's back there. She's only 13. She gives up. She stands up and gives the message of Christ, Amen. Teaching these kids, Amen. This is the answer. We need volunteers. If you know how to do office work, if you want to work with kids, don't tell me you're too old. I can sit down, and they'll come, and they'll sit with me for an hour, 2 hours. Why? Because I'm brilliant? No, because I listen. I am sure there are listeners in here who can help. Office work, playing with kids, sorting clothes. Again, everything at our place is free. They come in. We have hot dogs, nachos, popcorn. We get Panera. We have fruit. We have everything. It's free. They come in hungry. They leave filled with Jesus.
Amen. So I think we have three preachers, and I probably could give an altar call, and you guys would come forward. This has been great. I'm so delighted you ladies are with us today. And if you want to head back to your tables, and in a moment we'll give you a chance to interact with them. And if the worship team would come and prepare to conclude for us, just a few other comments for you before we dismiss. Reminder, and this is not a gimmick. The shirts are back there. The whole point of everything we do, socializing, fun activities, the teaching and the preaching, even down to the shirts, the goal is to influence people to come to know Christ. And so buy the shirts, wear them in hopes that someone will ask you, what's Bethel? What does together seeking something better mean? So you better make sure you know what that means when you wear those. And when you put those shirts on, you instantly become like Jesus Christ, right? Because you will be representing his body when you wear those. But it's just one small additional way that you can start to engage people. And I really want to encourage you, stop by and see these ladies back there to talk about possibility of getting involved. I like what Joyce said, 75, because we have another Joyce here who's 80, and she's involved in probably four or five things here at the church. So you don't... There's no limitation on age. Get involved in community, and let's see things change. And Jesus, before that parable of the leaven, he told the parable of the mustard seed. And what he said in Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32, it says he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, and that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make their nest in its branches." That mustard seed is the kingdom of God. And by comparison, we are a small church. And perhaps by comparison, we may be doing small deeds and small acts. But that's the way the kingdom of God works, is God could take a small start, God could take small steps and create this huge mustard tree that is calling the birds, the community, to come and rest under its shade and under its health and its protection and its power. And that's what we have the potential to become if we do the mission we're destined for. Amen? So, again, if you're new with us, even our friends from our organizations, we want to give you a gift for being here also. But when you leave today, those of you who are new, outside these double doors, last doors on your left, There's a welcome center just for you. Take what you'd like. Give me a few moments. I'll be back there to get to know you. And next week, we're concluding Destiny before we get set up on our blind date. So tell your friends that we're doing a dating website. And we're going to get set up on a blind date in a couple weeks. So come with fear and trepidation. Amen. But if you would stand with me. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst, and we rejoice in that, and we ask that you would give us more. Give us more of the outpouring of the Spirit. Give us more of the righteousness that you can put in our spirits and our hearts, and give us more influence in our community. Move us, compel us by the love of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.